continuing on here, okay, and we've been going through Paul's manner of life. And when we look at what Paul should be giving to us in our life, we ought to be having joy, peace, no depression, no frustration. And I'm not experiencing all that like we should. And I think a lot of people don't. We're having a lot of struggles today. And we know we've gotten rid of our religion. And that's good. At least we're getting rid of our religion. And tonight, we're going to go through two or three things that could be misunderstood very easily. I even hesitate to preach. I started it this morning, but then the sound went out and it was a good time to quit. So I hesitate to talk about this one. I really do. Because A, I'm not good at it. B, if you become too good at it, you're not going to be a good Christian testimony, I don't think. And that's long-suffering and patience. Long-suffering, bearing injuries or provocation for a long time. They're going to bother you for a long time. They're going to challenge you. They're going to give you a hard time for a long time. Patient, not easily provoked. That's 1828. Okay, so you're not going to easily provoked. You're going to be able to stay with it, and you'll bear what it is they're putting on you. Now, I fear that because long-suffering can be very easily disguised or... No, under the term of long-suffering, not making a stand can hide under long-suffering. You can say, I'm suffering long, but you're not doing right. You can say, somebody's going to be bothering me, or putting injury in, or provocation, provoking you, you know, challenging you, disagreeing with you, and trying to change your life, and do all these kind of things, and you have long-suffering. Well, you'll see, you won't see it tonight. I wish I could tie it together with tonight, but you'll see that Paul does have an answer to that. Paul is very long-suffering. The Lord was very long-suffering. But there was a time that came that you had to deal with something. And this is why I hesitate this long-suffering thing. Because there comes a time in a person's walk or a person's testimony that he has to quit long-suffering, he has to quit being patient, and he has to deal with something. He has to stand up to somebody. He has to say something to somebody. Like I said in the evil communication, I think that was one of my more important sermons. Again, I get those sermons, I just kind of don't forget. That one about evil communications, not being TV, not being videos. I mean, they are evil communication, no doubt about it. But the whole general atmosphere around your home or your attitude around the church or around the brethren, that are people having long-suffering or they just accepted immodesty? It's not being long-suffering. They just accept it. It's okay, in other words. And give them time, they'll do the same thing. And they say, no siree, never, never, never. And I know there are some that never will. But there are some that already are that didn't before in Christianity. You'll be away from somebody for a while and you'll see them again. It's like, whoa. What happened to you? Well, I just got tired of fighting the battle of modesty or loudness, whatever, all the things I talk about, and they gave in. Or are they just being long-suffering? Is it okay to be around that? Well, sure, it's okay to be around that. What are you going to do? But you're not going to change. And same thing now, we go into this thing with patience. Definition. The suffering of afflictions, pain, toil, calamity, provocation, or other evil with a calm, unruffled temper. Endurance without murmuring or fretfulness. See, I don't have a lot of patience, and lately I've had less patience. A calm temper which bears evils without murmuring or discontent. Okay? And it goes on, the act or quality of waiting long for justice, perseverance, constancy in labor and exertion, the quality of bearing offenses and injuries without anger or revenge. Okay, so you can take it. But how much of a true testimony gets stolen or robbed or denied when your patience allows something to take place that shouldn't take place? So, these two terms, long-suffering and patience, to me, can be a term that people can hide behind when they really don't want to do it anyway. And they're just being long-suffering? You're not either. You just don't want to change that. I'm being very patient. No, you're not being very patient because you don't want to stand against that. I'm not going to stand against this. I'm being long-suffering. No, it comes time that you need to take a stand on something. And yet Paul says there's verses on long-suffering and there's verses on being patient, no doubt. So that's why I can't skip these two sections. This is part of our walk as a Christian, is to be long-suffering and to be patient. Okay, I'm going to go see this man tomorrow. I'm going to talk about, I hope we get this in there, about the book of Hebrews. Now, I don't need to go in there and blow through this whole book of Hebrews, okay? I'll be long-suffering with the fact that he doesn't understand even the King James thing. I don't even expect him to understand that. And that's okay. I'll be there. I'll show him some stuff. I'll plant some seeds. I'll be patient with the fact that if he lets me come back again, okay, then just don't put a big piece of steak on their table. We go to the nursing home and play piano, and they don't bring all the people down like we're used to, and we don't have what we had before. And, well, just be patient. Give it time, and maybe it'll turn out that way. There's other reasons back in Tushy and Walla Walla why we had such success at Oddfellows and Regency and these other places, because we did some other things at the beginning that we're not able to do today. Now, we could do them. I think it'd be fun to have you, but Gina being sick and all. I'm sorry, Gina. Gina being sick and all. And you got school and everything. To have y'all come in and we do the accordion, we sing, and we teach them the words, and we do things like this. And it takes time to get them going. We had a Bible study for, I don't know, 7 or 8 years at Oddfellows. I think that was the time. Good old Bible study. Accordion and Bible study. And it's taken us this long to have that kind of a closeness with the people at this nursing home retirement center. So it isn't something that just comes about. Okay, long-suffering and patient. And while we were doing those things, we got challenged over some things. So back off. But if in your personal life you're being challenged and you believe that you need to have long-suffering towards your challenge, is it because you don't want to stand up for what it is that you believe? Do you not want to make an issue? You need to have patience. Of course we need to have patience. But if challenged in a church or in a home or in a business or whatever it is that you're around, are you being long-suffering and patient by giving in to their system and you'll eventually have them be your way? Is that patience? No, that's a bad testimony. Are you following me? Long-suffering and patience is a good thing. It's even one. It's the fruit of the Spirit, but it can also be a place to hide behind. So I just hesitate to do this because there's too many people that I think are going to hear this sermon and they're going to say, well, I'm just being patient. I don't think you're being patient. I don't think you want to deal with it. I'm just going to be long-suffering towards the problems that are taking place. I don't think you're being long-suffering. I don't think you want to deal with it. So that's why I really hesitate to do this thing. So here we go. Because Paul does come to a point where he says, listen, the long-suffering is over. The patience is over. Then we'll talk about that probably Wednesday night. Let's look at Romans 9:22. I won't be any good to turn that on. I hope Mark's out there getting it. Romans 9:22. Let's look at long-suffering for a couple minutes, and then we'll look at patience for a couple minutes. 8:25, I've got an hour. Okay. Or thereabouts. This will be okay. Then there's another segment at the end, which really I shouldn't preach tonight because I'm so frustrated with some things, but I should because it should fit in together here. Romans 9:22. What if God, willing to show His wrath and to make His power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? Well, that's a good question. What if God, willing to show His wrath and to make His power known, endured with much long suffering? And He has. Because we know that the goodness of God in Romans chapter 2 says that He has. He's putting up with things that He doesn't have to put up with. He's putting up with shame. He's putting up with rebelling against the truth. He's putting up with a world that's just anti-God. It says saying high things against God, it says there in Daniel. We know that when it's over, and we know when the rapture is going to come. When is the rapture going to come? The rapture is going to come when the Gentiles are done with the goodness of God. And they mock God's goodness. Romans chapter 11 talks about that. When the Gentiles are done dealing with and enjoying, or whatever the case may be, or just being around the goodness of God, and they're anti-God and they're mocking God, which is what they're doing more and more, then that's when he's going to come. That's when he cuts off the nation, the Gentile nation, and goes back to the Jews. So there comes a time that God's long suffering stops. And we have to realize as a Christian that our long suffering has to come to a stop sometime, and something has to be stated. And I'm afraid that even somebody else I've talked to around in this part of the country, I'm afraid that people are going to live with Paul, and they're going to live with all these characteristics of his manner of life, but they're not going to go to the ones they need to step up to and deal with. And that's where I've got to learn long-suffering and patience, because I don't like to let things go very long. I just don't, because it's setting in a habit towards children. Sure, when kids are 3 and 4 years old and you have long-suffering and patience, yes, but do you realize that that's when those kids are the most wet of the cement and that's what they'll always remember? Or things going on in the church. Pastor, have long-suffering, have patience. Well, yes, but it's bringing in an element to the church that I don't want in my church. You know, I don't want that in my church, so we'll have patience and long-suffering. Somebody comes in dressed the way they dress in the tight T-shirts and the low-cut stuff or whatever. But where's patience and long-suffering? Well, I'll tell you what, it isn't going to be very long that the girls are going to be dressing like that. And it isn't going to be very long after that the other church kids are going to be doing that. And is that because you had long-suffering, or is it because you didn't deal with it? Is the website getting this? I mean, you see what I'm saying? The long-suffering and patience, to me, is a scary thing. God had long-suffering, but God is not going to go on forever. He's going to deal with it when they're done. And within a church or within a family, your patience and your long-suffering is going to go to a point where, okay, you're pushing it. I'm going to draw the line. And you need to do that. Well, people aren't doing that in the Paul realm that I've recognized and I've seen and talked with people, and as I read through the things and I recognize that I think Paul's people are proud of their long suffering, and they're proud of their patience, and they're proud of having grace. You know what I think it is? I don't think they want to deal with stuff. I'm not sure even we here in this little church, if we can get this church off the ground here. If we can get, well, we're off the ground. We got people, so I guess I just need to be like that. But are we going to be the kind of church that, say, that person that came in, that wanted to come, the one that called, and that person comes in and visits and we do our stuff and we recognize the dastardly, out-of-place roles that are being taken place, and we have long-suffering and we have patience? How long are we going to do that before the other ladies are acting like her? And I'm afraid, I just see that as the trend with Paul, is just to live with long-suffering, live with patience, live with grace, live with mercy, and don't worry about this other stuff, because where's your long-suffering and mercy? No, I don't want that in my home. I don't want that. I don't want that in my church. Some church people ought to be willing to call the pastor and talk to the pastor and say, you know, pastor, well, it's like Clarence did. The ladies go out on a some kind of a gathering for the pastor's birthday or whatever, and they go someplace, and they go to a Mexican place, and there's dancing, and they're asking for worldly songs to be played for them and the whole thing. Well, Clarence calls up the pastor and says something. Why do we allow this? What happened here? And the pastor was not aware of it, so he said it was his wife's birthday, but I pray he didn't know about it. And that stuff needs to be dealt with. If the people don't want the pastor, now here we go. If the people don't want the pastor to be their Holy Spirit, here we go. This is good. I should have said that. If the people don't want the pastor to be their Holy Spirit, and they don't want him to do everything, and they don't want him to teach and tell everybody to demand this thing, then people in the church Watch your long-suffering and your patience and your mercy and grace, and sometimes you need to do something. You need to take a stand as a person within your church.
Yeah, that's good.
Or your church will get into a mess and you'll blame the pastor again. This is happening different places. And if the pastor puts his foot down, which Paul was going to tell us Wednesday night, I hope everybody's here. You know, it's really nice to see this list of people right here. I've got to remind myself. There's Kenny. There's Gina, although Gina should be here looking at the internet instead of there looking at the internet, but that's okay. Patience is there. I want her to get this. Mark is there. Mark has hard times. I want Mark to get this stuff. Grandma Kay, Grandma, you're there. Brian, I'm so happy to see Brian and Adriana there. They're going through some real struggles. They are taking their stand within their families and their friends, and they're going through what we're going through. They're losing their friends. Adriana has put together babysitting money to help us get out here. She's to an age where she's going to have to fight this friend thing. Is she willing to trade friends? Why trimmest thou thy way to seek love, is what Jeremiah said. Is she going to trim her ways of what she knows to be right so she can have friends? That's tough for children. Teenagers. Hey, that's tough for older people to lose their friends. I don't know who Say Grace is. We've got gunkles out there, painters. I know they don't have any. They struggle with things. They struggle with things that they know they have to do that isn't even the way that Lord would have them do it, but they have to for reasons, medical reasons and stuff. And again, I don't know who Say Grace is. So, people have got to just quit hiding behind long-suffering and patience and step up and say something and deal with it. And that's what Paul tells us. We'll talk about that Wednesday night. Anyway, I hope to see you folks again Wednesday night. Let's look at another one. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. 8:33, I got an hour. Not a problem. 1 Timothy chapter 1, 16. You probably went to 1 Timothy 8:33, didn't you? And you found out that there was no 8:33 there. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me, that's Paul, first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering. Look at what Paul's life was. Look what he was before he became the Apostle Paul. He was a Christian abuser, a Christian throwing him in jail stuff. Well, God had long suffering, but you know what? God finally didn't put up with it anymore, and dealt with it. Paul, you're not going to do this anymore. He says, forth all long for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe, that's us, on him to life everlasting. He's talking about us right there. We are, and that hereafter with his time, we're going to believe on him for life everlasting. So there's Christ with his long suffering pattern in Paul's life. But just remember, he put a stop to it eventually. Otherwise, Paul wouldn't be the apostle, Paul wouldn't have changed his life, and nothing would have changed. And we would still be following the Jewish thing if we're even doing that at all. No, God's long-suffering had to put the kibosh on Paul. 2 Timothy, I just wish I could look at people's eyes and in their faces and out in the pews and in the pews in this nation and the people on the website and just, don't you want to just get this into their lives, into their hearts? I mean, let's just not be a Paul Christian. Let's do something with being a Paul Christian, and let's have long suffering, of course, and let's have patience, but let's put a stop to the things that we're hiding under long suffering and patience. Let's put a stop to things that we know are wrong. Or at least let's say something, and don't depend on some other guy, some other person, some other leader to do that. Unless, of course, you want him to run the entire life of everybody, which I know we don't. That's he becomes your pastor pope. We've got them all over this town. No, they should stand up and say something. I can go talk to Jason if I want to, Pastor. You can't tell me not to go talk to Jason. That kind of stuff. Okay. 2 Timothy 3:10 is the classic verse we're looking at here where he says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. Well, Timothy knew Paul's doctrine fully. We don't. We're still working on it. Galatians chapter 5, 22, we see that long-suffering is the fruit of the Spirit. Well, see, then if you don't have long-suffering, is it possibly because you're not saved? Well, I guess that's a possibility, but I know different than that. I just know that I'm being challenged and I'm running out of long-suffering because I'm tired of some of the things and I want to deal with them. I'm afraid that somebody out in the website, in the CDs that listen to these somewhere else, or even our own little family here, is going to let that long-suffering thing go on so long that it's going to hurt them. Because they're going to be taught Paul's manner of life is long-suffering. Yes, but Paul's manner of life is also rebuke, reprove, correct, avoid. We get to those. I'm sure some of you folks already knew I was going to that one. Because he says that. Stand up for what's right. Don't just hide under long-suffering. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 says the same thing. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Now, charismatics will look at that verse if they have a King James. And there are charismatics with a King James Bible. That's kind of a, that's, to me, is just like, you know, having a car and ride bike all your life. Why do you have a car? Why would you have a King James Bible if you don't even believe the thing? But forbearing one another in love. You go to this church, you go to all churches, if anybody hears this thing, and you forbear everybody in love. Well, sure you do. But, well, excuse me, wait a minute. There's something wrong going on here. We can't just deal with this. Can we? How do we deal with this stuff? Well, let's just ignore it. Let's just forbear it in love. In Jesus' love and all this kind of stuff. I'm afraid that Paul's teaching, Paul's churches, the ones that I've learned about, are not strong enough for a Paul church. A Paul church does stand on his walk, on the right walk to please God. Part of that walk is to take a stand against something. Part of a Paul's church should have some solid standards and should stand on those standards. They should. And I know very few that do. And I know a few that have tried, and really, it just crashed. And I'll just leave it at that. Within the home, one person in that home, standing on what is biblically correct, should stand on that biblically correct belief and issue and stand on that. Sure, with long suffering towards everybody else, you're not trying to get everybody else to do what you're doing. So you have long suffering towards everybody else. You have patience towards everybody else. But you don't hide behind it yourself. I think part of my frustration is I'm recognizing that a Paul church, they're not wanting to take stands. Or Paul people, or a Paul family is still not wanting to take those stands that's coming on Wednesday night. They would rather hide under long suffering. They would rather have patience with each other instead of making a stand. No, make the stand. We'll talk about that. I keep saying it Wednesday night. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, for example, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. You know what's really amazing? All the stress and the hardness that's going on in me goes away when I preach and when I teach. And I see the names that are there. And I see the book open. And I see the fact that I'm... Well, they're going to have to listen to it on an internet, I hope, on a CD. That was disappointing, just to notice that. But there's something really joyful or peaceful preaching the truth when you believe it to be the truth. And you can picture people that this could fix and this could help. This could fix families. This could fix an individual within a family. This could give somebody within a family the strength that they need because Paul is just so unpopular today. Paul's teachings. Is it Paul's teachings? No, it's not Paul's teachings. It's the fact that the devil doesn't want anybody to know that the Lord himself had risen and has told people what he wants them to live and what he has done for them. Devil does not want us to know what Christ has done for us. It isn't Paul he's mad at. It's the Savior who got out. So we try to fix these things within our home, 842, try to fix these things within our home, and he doesn't want that. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want Jesus Christ to get the glory for somebody who's, here's my list, dressing right, talking right, not doing the wrong things, standing up for what's right as the person they are, or for the family. You know, if a family takes a stand within a church, we have a visitor coming next week, by the way, from the website. And they do some pretty strong standards within their home. And this guy told me that a lot of people don't respect our standards. So, well, you're welcome to come here with those kind of standards. That's not a problem. There's a family now that's standing up for some standards that they believe to be true. And well, you know, we can talk about it later. And, you know, whatever. But there's a family that's standing. Boy, you don't see that anymore. There's a whole family standing for what Paul teaches of the risen Savior. You might find one or two within that family. But to find a family anymore, it's getting hard. So, 2 Timothy 4:2, we'll finish up the long-suffering. He says, preach the word. You know what that means? Preach the word. Don't hide it. Don't set it aside. It says, preach it. Be instant in season, out of season. We can look at that on a dispensational standard that we are at the end of the dispensation. It's running out of time. It's like, what's the point of planting a crop? I go through that in my mind. What's the point of doing this? We're so far out of season. Nobody cares about Paul. Nobody cares about a King James Bible. Nobody even cares about a church. It says here, it's all quiet. Does that mean we're not getting sound out there? Everything going right out there in the sound world? Hello, out there on the website. Is there something going on out there? Can you hear these things? Oh, they're going to come back in. Okay. Just him. Okay. There's the problems, you know. Just internet problems. Brian, welcome back. Hope you didn't miss too much there. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. I believe that we are so far out of season right now that I'm just hoping a seed will grow somewhere. Well, look at it. If all the things that we read in Hebrews to Peter, which are tribulation, and so many people think that's written to us because they make sense, that means those things are starting to happen already, we've got to be getting close to the tribulation. Look at the things that he says in Romans chapter 11, I think it is, to where when the Gentiles are done to the goodness of God, then he's going to cut them off as a nation. I went downtown and handed out some tracts yesterday. Yes. Would you like to read this? I'd like to have you read this, ma'am, about the goodness of God. Oh, I'm not interested in God. You're not interested in God? I mean, the goodness of God, God's a marvelous God. No, I don't want that. Oh, okay. And it did me good. It was hard for me not to be sarcastic and say, well then, I don't want to do that. Haven't you got my interview in the paper? By the way, pray really hard. Wednesday, folks out there, I've got an interview with the local paper. And, you know, here I am, coming to town to do what? And that ought to start up something somewhere. If I say it right or whatever, just pray for us on that one. I'm going to talk with a man tomorrow about the book of Hebrews, a Presbyterian, who says he's teaching Hebrews in his Sunday school class. And he doesn't know anything about Hebrews. He says, this stuff was way too deep for me. I'm looking forward to that opportunity. So be praying for those things. We've got two visits from the fair that we need to get into. We've got another church about 30, 40 miles, 50 miles from here. I want to talk to him. And there could be some things that come out of that church that could be pretty exciting. Another man that's going to come visit us on Wednesday nights, on Sunday nights. I was hoping he'd be here tonight, but it comes and goes. And we'll have a visitor from the website Wednesday, or the 19th, whenever that is. Next Sunday, I think it is. We're looking to do a Bible conference on a Thanksgiving fall Bible conference on November, I think it's 20, 21, and 22. And we've had some folks from Indiana, and Clarence wants to try to come up. And Stephen said he's going to try to get here if he has to hitchhike. And McCord's want to try to come up for his wife's birthday, so that ought to be a reason for him to come, of course. And I hope Brian and Adriana, you can squizzle up some pennies and dimes somewhere and get down here for this thing. I wish we had the money to provide the housing and the gas and all that stuff, but we don't. And there's things that are going to happen, but it's still out of season. This isn't going to just blossom. Didn't you say the other day that there's a church that started a couple weeks ago, and they've got how many members now?
60.
Like 60-some people already going to this thing. How does this happen? Oh, wait a minute. They're not teaching the truth. They're teaching Catholic teachings within this church. And everybody around here is, you know, they're religious. Terribly religious. Very difficult to talk to. Okay, so anyway, he says, in season, out of season, reprove. See, now this is under long suffering. He says to reprove, to rebuke, and to exhort. But he does say with all long suffering and doctrine. But he doesn't just say hide behind long suffering and doctrine. He says reprove, rebuke, exhort, preach with all long suffering and doctrine. I'm afraid there's too much long-suffering going on and nobody's preaching. And if they're preaching, they're not going to preach the walk, because that's still what Paul wants to be preached, because that's what pleases God. Let's go to another one here. Patience. The suffering of afflictions, pain, toil, calamity, provocation, or other evil, with a calm, unruffled temper. Endurance without murmuring or fretfulness. Boy, have I lost that ability. I'm not sure I ever had it, but I think I've lost more of it lately. I'm just running out of patience with things I can't do anything about, and I want to try. It's hard. Well, what does he say about patience? Well, Romans chapter 5, in verse 4, you know, I need what I need. I need to see some amens typed up on the website. I can't hear them. I can probably hear a few. I need to hear and see some amens. Are you getting what I'm trying to say tonight out there, web world? Come on. Let's see some. There we go. We repent to God. Is that Kenny or Gina?
Repent to God is Kenny.
Kenny. Hey, thank you, Kenny. Amen. That's it? One person? Come on. Are you guys just, did y'all just turn on your name and then go read a magazine? Here we go. Amen from God, from painters, that's good. Anybody else? I'd like to hear one. Are you understanding these things here?
Would you take an amen?
Okay. I'll take an amen, yes. I'll even take an amen. say grace. Say grace. What do you think? If you got say grace on your name, are you understanding what I'm trying to say with Paul's teachings here? We lost Brianna and Brian and Adrian again. Must be a computer problem. How about Grandma? Grandma Kay, do you understand what I'm saying here? I'm not picking at or aiming at or anything. This is something I really believe. Mark. Oh, Mark, stop it. I'm understanding, but I don't like the crowd manipulation stuff. I don't participate on demand. Well, excuse me. Okay, I'll just go along talk. Are women allowed to say amen? Yes, yes. You can type it, because it looks like masculine print. There we go. Okay, Mark, you can just type in amen anytime you want. I won't bug you. And say grace. I hope you're not still just saying grace. I mean, eating. I hope you're paying attention to what we're talking about here. Let's get into the patience one now. Verse 4. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Okay, so I think most of us have heard, don't pray for patience because it's going to take tribulation to give you the patience. So apparently, I'm having to learn patience, because there seems to be a lot of tribulation that I'm dealing with, you're dealing with, we're all dealing with out there, with the economy and the houses, the housing situation, all these things, family issues, and we're working on patience here. Go, Ralph throws up back again. Good to have you back there. Oh, Grandma. Grandma said amen. All right. Hey, Grandma, how many years has it been? So now when you go to church, now, if anybody says anything good, just take your little fingers and tippy-tap amen on the back of the pew in front of you, or on the table. That's as best as you can do. How's that? Okay, here's the point I want to make, though. Tribulation worketh patience. We know that. And patience experience. Okay, we know that. And experience hope. Now my question is this, why is hope so far down the road here? Look at Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So we get our hope from comfort of the Scriptures and from patience. And that's okay. But Romans 5, 4 says that hope comes down the line. You've got tribulation. You've got patience. You've got experience. Then you get hope. And I wonder if maybe sometimes, I wish some other folks were there, I wish that maybe some of the reasons we're losing our hope is because we've had hope so soon that we're not, I could be guilty of that, we're not willing to go through the tribulation to get the patience, to get the experience, to have the hope. We hope for the hope, but we're not even strong enough to have a solid hope. That make sense? You can say no.
Go through that again.
Okay. Tribulation worketh patience. Patience experience. Experience hope. One of the things that Christians like to have, well, I've got hope. I've just got hope. I've just got hope. Based on what? Well, I'm not reading the Bible, so there's no comfort of the Scriptures there. And there's no patience because you haven't had to deal with any tribulations and experience. You got money, you're all covered, you know it's not a big problem. So you've got great hope. But when it crumbles, it's because you haven't gone through, and I don't want to preach this, I really don't want to preach this, have to go through the tribulation, have to go through the patience, have to go through the experience, and you've been through all those things, now your hope is going to be solid. But if you leave the Scriptures out of that thing, your hope is not going to be solid. I don't want tribulation. I think I've had plenty of it in my life. I've had plenty of experience in my life, and those experiences were brought on by patience, which gave me experience. And yet my hope is still waning at times. Like Paul says, he fights the mind and the flesh all the time. He knows the hope should be there, but the flesh is saying, hey, this world is falling apart. Your kids, you know, your kids are being, they're preparing vaccines right now for our children that has been supposedly proven that affects their mind. Grandma, what's the name of that? Type it in there if you would. Type up the name of that guy, Blaylock, I think it is. The accusations made toward these immunizations that are going out in all these kids is the fact that it actually affects their mind. And if you put together the food issues, the MSG issues, and the vaccination issues, and all the things with the TVs and the evil communication within the home, is it no wonder that you can't teach somebody how to play a trumpet because they can't think? This is what I've experienced, that I've learned that kids in my years since I started until I quit, were not able to. The thinking thing is gone. I'm hoping that people can, when they do school, that they actually study because it's going to make them think. And you might not know how to think. Seriously, it might be a problem that you don't know how to sit back and look at a problem, read something and deal with it and think about it and get your thinker going. We're so image-oriented and evil communication-oriented and fast-oriented, and our food is hurting our brains, our children, and all these kind of things. And we may never get to the fact that we have a solid hope, based on experience, based on patience, based on tribulation. Because so many Christians start off with hope. Well, they've got money. They've got friends. They've got a church to go to. They've got family nearby. They've got everything going well. They can pretend they have hope. But when all gets taken away, they lose their hope. Why do they lose their hope? Maybe they didn't have enough experience, patience, by tribulation over all these years. I like to think we have. We've had tribulation. We've had to have patience for all these years. We've had to have it. We've got experience coming out of our ears. Comfort of the Scriptures are where hope has to come from. And having a rightly dividing understanding of the Scriptures, you know where to go for the right hope. Amen. Let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 25. There we go. Grandma says his name is Dr. Russell Blaylock. Talking with her, I know she's even getting discouraged because people don't care. Give the kid the shot, he won't get this flu thing or whatever they're trying to get vaccinations for. And it's destroying our children. Listen, all I had to see was I saw this needle up this kid's nose, and I said, no, I'm not doing that. Turns out that it's a spray. It's not a needle. But they didn't say spray for a number of pictures. And that was never going to happen. So, and older people are, it's just terrible what's going on in the medical world. Okay, Romans chapter 8, verse 25. It's 8:58. Got plenty of time here. Romans 8, 25. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it? I wonder if there's more to that. I gotta look that up here. I have a feeling there is. Romans 8. There we go. I knew there was more to that. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. And I'm afraid, by looking at that previous verse, I think one of the reasons many of us seem to be losing hope is our hope was always based on something that we could see. Like, I guess I should have looked this up. It would have been a good text verse for what I was saying. We see a church. We see people coming to that church. We see a car that works. We see money in the checking account. We see money in the savings. We see family. We see clothes. We see a house paid for or going to be paid for. We see that we're doing okay. We see that we see this and we see that. And as has been taken away from us, it's being taken away from us in this country, we're losing hope. Why is that? I'm not so sure that we haven't been basing our hope on things that we've seen. What he says right here really isn't hope. It's just a religion. And I'm trying to work on these messages. I'm thinking of a message I think will be really quite extraordinary. What I think there's something what we're lacking in our life. Because I think it's because as I look at this, I think it's because we have looked and seen our hope. And we're watching our hope being taken away. And we don't know what to do. We really don't know what to do. That will possibly be Wednesday night as well. I don't know. Maybe I'll make it one of my online. No, this has to be, I got to preach this in front of names and people. Bob Revis says, good to see you there, Bob. Bob Revis, yes, Bob Revis. Here we go. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 4. Got to move along. It's 9 o'clock, so it's not a problem. Not a problem at all here. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 4. But in all things, approving ourselves as a ministers of God, in much patience. Oh, there he is. These guys had to have patience. In afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. But yet it starts off with impatience, with much patience. See, I'm just not good with that. And I bet you some of your website people are saying, well, you're about to get good at it. No, I'm not doing good at it. So we'll see here. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. See, Gina, you didn't say amen. You just typed amen. So that was okay. Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering, with joyfulness. You know, I think without even knowing ahead of time, I think we struck the answer to these problems, is that we have our hope in things that we've seen. I think that's what's going on in our church, in our people back home that are struggling, and people out on the website that struggle, that are having things change in their lives. I think it's because we have trusted things that we see for our hope, and we're watching our hope being taken away. So when this patience and long suffering with joyfulness comes along, we're not ready for that. And I'll say it again. I don't want anybody on the website or on the phone or on the telegraph or on the CDs or the DVDs. I don't want anybody that I know of to hide behind long suffering and patience, but to take a stand. Because Paul's teachings are going mediocre in places all over that I know of because they're not taking their stand, which I think is what we're going to deal with up there. That's why I'm thinking that. It isn't where some people probably think I'm talking about. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about some others that I've recognized. And the mid-crowd. They have plenty of long-suffering and patience, but they don't take stands on anything. You know? Somebody wrote me the other day from a mid-Acts crowd back in the state of Washington and tried to get me to understand that some things don't need to be said about previous pastors over the last 50 or 100 years, even though they taught false doctrine. Well, no, I'm sorry, but somebody needs to stand against these great preachers that people call them and say that they were... I think she's talking about was the Great Commission missionary guy, William Carey. How can you talk bad about William Carey when look at all that he did? Yes, William Carey started the Great Commission false teaching in the modern era all around the mission field and brought it into America. I can't say anything nice about that guy. He brought that in. He brought in a false gospel that's destroying America. So no, we can't hide behind long-suffering and patience. I probably said that too much. But we can't hide behind it. We're looking at what? We're looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. I don't know if I said that or not. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. See, that's good. That's a good verse. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith. So somebody has a work of faith. You don't lose your faith, and it's his faith. Labor of love. Sure, you work hard at labor of love. And patience of hope. Of course, of course, of course. But I have to say it again. Don't let it go on forever. Deal with it when you have to deal with it before it hurts you. And there's more verses. He says, so that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith and all your persecutions. He says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience. He says in 2 Timothy, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, patience. And then he hits us old folks. Titus chapter 2 says that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. So patience is important. Long-suffering is important. Let's go to Acts chapter 9, verse 16. Let's look at one more segment tonight. We've got plenty of time still. Then we'll get into the tough one Wednesday night, which really isn't tough. I don't think it is. It's just that we don't want to. And this is where he says in Acts chapter 9, verse 16. And I don't like this section here. He says, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. He's talking about Paul. We need to go talk to this man because I need to show him that he is going to suffer. He says in Romans 8:17, if children then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that ye suffer with him. So, you kids have to realize that if mom and dad stick with Paul, and they better stick with Paul and the risen Savior, there's going to be some hard times. And in your case, sticking with Paul and what you hear here, you get that what you hear while you're here, is going to go against something else that you deal with during the week at times. And as you, this is going to give you that tribulation. It's going to give you this patience. This is going to give you this experience. It'll give you the hope as you grow up that this is not going to go easy. And you're going to be around people that want a religion that is easy. And they want a religion that is nice and loving. Well, what more loving can the risen Savior have as He paid for everything and He took care of all sin and doesn't even ask you to stop sinning. He just says, here's what you can do to make me happy. I'll take care of this sin. You don't have to make those choices, but here's what I'd like you to have. I mean, how much more loving can you be? But yet with that, we see that there's going to be suffering, affliction. And He says, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 12. Go ahead and type a few amens out there. I can see the screen. I like looking at the screen, seeing the website folks there. I like that. This is very encouraging to me. 1 Corinthians 9, 12. If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Now again, this suffering isn't going to just be a painful suffering, but it's allowing something. And it's being long-suffering. And it's being patient. And He says that we have to do those things, we hinder the gospel of Christ. And we've got pastors all over this country who are putting a power over their people. They're putting a power over their people. And they're making them do these certain things. Now, there's a difference. A pastor who puts his power over those people, or if it's people that trust their pastor, what he's preaching to be true. If you quit something because the pastor has told you to quit something, that's wrong. But if you quit something because the pastor has preached that this is something that you ought not be doing, and then you stop doing that, you didn't stop doing that because of the pastor. You stopped doing that because of the preaching that the pastor showed you in that Bible. Now, Paul said, these guys say here, you know, we could do this power over you folks. Paul had the power to do that over people. He says, nevertheless, we have not used this power. Because if they did, it would hinder the gospel of Christ. And do you know what these pastors and these fathers and these people are doing when they put this control over everybody that's old enough to have their thinker thinking? They're hindering the gospel of Christ in that church. They're hindering the gospel of Christ in that person, in their family. And that pastor who treats them that way as a family could be hindering the gospel of Christ within that family. The power is in the Scriptures, not in the pastor as such. But yet again, we know how to rightly divide, and we have wisdom. We know that just because a pastor preaches hard and says, you know, your kids ought not be doing this, your kids ought not be going to this certain activity, I don't want to see your kids at this activity because it's not right, it bothers me, he better put some Scriptures behind that thing, and now he's not trying to control that family. He's just telling the family what's best for their children. So we're going to see here there's going to be affliction. Look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. Philippians 1, 29. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, well, amen, yes, we believe on Him, that's good, but also to suffer for His sake. And we're coming up with Christians that don't want to suffer for His sake. We're coming up with Paul-following people. They say they follow Paul, and they read the Paul books, but they don't want to take the affliction that's going to come by dressing right, talking right, not talking loud, not going to places they should, maybe even quitting a church. Maybe even dealing with something within the home. Maybe even dealing something within their home, their school they go to. That if you believe on the risen Savior, you're going to suffer for that. Doesn't mean you're going to get tied to a stake. Doesn't mean anything like that at all. But it means you're going to be less loved. Paul says, the more abundantly I love, the less I'm loved. You're going to be called an enemy. You're going to be treated poorly. You're going to have somebody slowly whittle away at you, try to take you down. That's affliction. You're going to suffer for it. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. 1 Timothy 4, verse 10. This is good. We're getting some amens from some folks. Amen, it happens. It does. It happens. I bet you that might even be from Adriana, because Adriana tries to make those kind of stands in her schooling. We're looking at 1 Timothy 4:10. Is that what I said? For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach. Suffer reproach. Because we trust in the living God. Now, you know, we say to ourselves, why is it that these people who believe that Jesus Christ died, buried, rose again, don't want to hear what the risen Savior has to say? And why would a verse like this that says, we're going to labor and we're going to suffer reproach because we trust in the living God? Why would that be? Is it the living God that's making us pay? No, of course not. It's the devil. It's the world. It's the lost person. You're going to suffer reproach. You're going to be looked down upon. You're going to labor and suffer reproach. It's going to be hard work to be what you want to be. And if a pastor can be there to help anybody, he wants to be there to help them. That's what a pastor does. Preachers preach. Pastors pastor. They want him to get this stuff. You're going to suffer reproach because what you're doing is you're trusting in the living God. That's what you're doing. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. I'd like to hear some more amens on this sermon tonight. Very much so. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. We always sing that verse when you read it. But that's what he says. I know I'm going to suffer this thing. I know my parents. I know my... Even pastors are going to give people a hard time. Even husbands, even wives. If this one guy that I talked to the lady the last couple of days, if this guy were to get a hold of this stuff and get excited, this guy is looking for a horrible time of life within his home. Talk about suffering reproach. But if he's going to know who he believes, I know I believe in the risen Savior. I know I believe in the living God. And when you're in a home that's against some of that, even though they say they are, but they're not, and all this kind of weak need stuff, you're going to suffer reproach. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, wherein I suffer trouble, he says, as an evildoer. We have anybody out there in the web world that's been treated like an evildoer because you want to trust in the living God? Let's hear an amen. This is a really delayed reaction. Amen. I mean, it's got to go up to the moon and back or something. Here they come. Well, look at that. Amen, amen, yeah. Any more amens out there, yeah? Amen. Don't anybody say park there, brother, though, because I don't like that one. I don't like park there, brother. Most of the time I can't, because these are the verses I know, and I got nothing else to talk about, so... If I park, I'm just going to start crabbing on my own part. So I don't need to park there, brother. And our house is so small, don't even begin to grab your book and run around the house. That's just another thing that people do. We have a circle here, yeah, but just get out of the way. No, that's just silly stuff. Just flesh. I really believe it's flesh. And we got amen, amen, amen. Oh, yeah, then... Yeah, there we go. Yeah. Uh-oh, there's one. Amen. Sometimes it hurts. It does hurt. It does hurt, doesn't it, Brian? When you stand up for what's right for the living God, and I know some of your testimony, because, by the way, you folks out there in the web world out there, go to the personal web. What do we call that? The personal testimonies from the website, folks. There's just a bunch of them on there. And very few people have it easy trying to follow the risen Savior. But boy, they got a lot of victories, a lot of joys on those pages. And don't be afraid to write me an email and tell me your testimony if you'd like. Let's keep moving here. Run out of time now. For unto you is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but to suffer for His sake. He says, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach. He says in Timothy, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. He says in 2 Timothy, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer. 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's just the way it's going to be. And I know people are getting tired of it. They have to, they can justify it by the roof they're under, by the people that's taken care of them, by the church they go to, by the fact that the pastor's done so well. We've had churches give us bags and bags of groceries, and we find out later that there's some really serious things going on, so we end up leaving. And that's a tough thing to do, but if you're going to do right and live godly, according to what Christ teaches, not just the length of skirt, you're going to suffer persecution. We just have to remember that some of our persecution that we're suffering isn't because we're following the living God, it's because we've done something stupid. We have to keep that in mind, that we reap what we sow quite often. Mm-hmm. But still, as a Christian, he says in Philippians, notwithstanding ye have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Paul was, as Philippians 4:14, by the way, Paul was, people were aware of Paul's affliction because these people communicated with it. They were there to take care of him. They were there to help him. Ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. You try to help me through my affliction. He says in the last two verses, 1 Thessalonians 1:6, he says, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord. And we've done that over these years. We've got enough people websiting out there now from those days that they're following the Lord. They're following Paul. They're following the risen Savior. And we're followers of these people the best that we can as we're learning, having received the word in much affliction. Just in much affliction. You had four or five people that we were hoping would be part of our church and we got started here. And now they've been driven away by the power of a pastor. And I consider that affliction. I consider that hurts. That's hurtful. And then lastly, he says in 1 Thessalonians 3:7, therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. If there's anything that can keep my affliction or my stresses from getting me down, or you people out on the website out there, same thing, is to hear from somebody who's standing by their faith. And they're not letting it happen. And they're taking their... Now Marcia's on there from Idaho. And so you're not letting things get you down. You're not giving in. You're not giving up. And that helps those of us that need that comfort in all of our affliction and distress by your faith. Like tonight. I see all these names on this list here tonight. We'll go through the list again. There's Kenny, there's Gina, there's Patience, there's Mark, there's Grandma, there's Painters, there's Bob Revis is there, Brian and Adriana in Wisconsin. Still don't know who Complete in Christ is. And then Blessing Ranch, that's Marcia in Idaho. And their bucket has been full. Here's another one. Moonfixer. Moonfixer just popped in. Moonfixer, we just finished, but we'll start over, not a problem. Let's all turn to 8 o'clock on Sunday nights, Moon Fixer. That's John McCord in Illinois, Indiana. They're in Illinois, I think. Probably had a lot to paint. So there you go, folks. There's your long-suffering. Don't hide behind it. Patience, don't hide behind it. Take your stands when the time comes. Don't anybody take you down over these things. There's going to be affliction, and during this affliction, have long-suffering and patience. And I wish I could just preach like I know what I'm talking about. But I don't. I have to follow the scriptures and struggle myself with the affliction and the distresses and the stress that we're having by the comfort of the scriptures and knowing that you folks are standing strong. So that'd be it for tonight.